Turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12.
After you found that verse, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, you find the verses on the wall here behind me. Four verses that we're going to be looking at today. I don't usually do that, but I ask you if you will help me today by turning to those verses of Scripture. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, James chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, and Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. We're going to be reading Proverbs 14, verse 34 together. First, I'll read to you Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, notice that word all, death, sentence have passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We have all sinned. James chapter 1 and verse 13 and verses 14 and 15. James 1, 14, 15. But every man is tempted, notice that inclusive word, every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Notice first the word lust, verse 15. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Notice verse 15, three words. First, lust. Second, sin, and third, death. Turn, please, to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 John 2, verse 16. For all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, verse 16, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Notice verse 16, three things. All sin can be put in the category of these three things. The lust of the flesh, verse 16. The lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Then turn back to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach, a disgrace, an embarrassment to any people. Would you stand with me, please, and let's read together Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Are you ready? Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And that's pretty good for the first time. Well, let's try it again. Would you look at it now? Are you ready? Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Be seated, please. Preaching it today about a question, whatever happened to sin? Whatever happened to sin? You'll notice there the word sin is in caps, and the middle letter, which tells us what sin is all about. Sin is all about me. Sin is all about you. We could just put all the things about sin, and it's I. It's me. It's me. And here in this passage that we read together, righteousness exalteth a nation. That it promotes a nation. That lifts a nation up. But sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a disgrace, brings disgrace to anyone, And sin disgraces a nation and embarrasses a nation. Remember about sin. Sin is all about me. And sin not only hurts God, and sin not only hurts others, but sin hurts me, and sin hurts you. How many of you like to be hurt? How many of you like to be injured? How many of us like to be wounded? None of us. And yet the facts are that sin never helps us. Sin always hurts us. As we think about sin today and ask that question, whatever happened to sin? Why is it that we don't hear much today about sin? Many say that the Ten Commandments are not really the Ten Commandments, but they are only the Ten Suggestions. My friends, the Ten Commandments are still God's commandments. And let's look very quickly, number one, at the source of sin. Where did sin begin? And where did sin come from? It is shocking. It is surprising when we realize where sin came from and where sin began, the beginning of sin. Would you believe that sin began in heaven? It began in heaven. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 28 and verse 14, God's word says, "You are the anointed cherubim who covered, I established you." In the book of Ezekiel 28, we find about Satan. And sin began with Satan, but sin began not in a nightclub or a hellhole. Sin began in heaven. And Satan was the anointed cherub. In Isaiah 14, "How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" He is called the anointed cherub. He is called Lucifer. "And how art thou fallen, O Lucifer, the son of the morning?" Lucifer was the highest of the angels. He was the top angel. Some think that Lucifer was in charge of the music in heaven. I do not know. I'm not sure. But that is possible. May I say that music is religious. Music is spiritual. All music has some kind of spirit to us. That's the attraction of music. That's why all of us are attracted to music. And all of us are attracted by some kind of music. And the kind of music we're attracted to reveals what kind of heart and what kind of spirit we have. And God said that sin began and raised its ugly head in heaven. And Ezekiel said, "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty." Satan, Lucifer, the anointed cherub, was the most attractive person beside God in heaven, the most attractive created being in heaven. Often we think of Satan as ugly, having horns, you know, and a red face. You've seen the photograph on the red devil icon, and a forked tail. My friends, how wrong you are. Satan is the most beautiful. He is the most beautiful. He is the most attractive being outside of God, the most attractive created being. And God said, "Ezekiel, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty." In Isaiah 14, there are five "I wills" that Satan uttered. He said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will occupy heaven. I'm going to be first in heaven." That's what Satan said. Satan said, "I will rule over all the angels. I will." That's the essence of sin. I will. I'm going to do as I please. And no one's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to run my life. I will occupy heaven. I will rule over all the angels. In fact, Satan said in Isaiah 14, I will govern the universe. I'm going to rule the world. I'm going to take God's glory. I'm going to take God's glory. But my friends, we cannot take God's glory. The glory belongs to Him. He said, I'm going to take God's place. Lucifer said, move over, God. I'm in control now. And I'm going to take over. And I'm going to run this thing. I'm going to run heaven. I'm going to run the angels. I'm going to run the universe. And that's what we say. We say, it's my life. This is my body. I'll do as I please. I'm going to do what I want to. When we say that, we're never more like Satan. We are never more like the devil. So we see the source of sin. It began in heaven. If sin can begin in heaven, then it can begin in your life and my life and find a place and bring ruin to our life. Secondly, notice not only the source of sin, but secondly, the spread of sin. In Genesis chapter 3, we find Satan appears upon the earth. He appears in the garden. He appears in Eden, and the word Eden means delight. There's never been a more delightful place than the Garden of Eden. Beautiful place. A marvelous, wonderful place. And now, here Satan is, not only heaven saying, I will, I'm going to run this place. And he appears in Eden. And he appears to you. And he appears to me. And he says, here's what I'm going to do for you. Here's what I'm going to give you. And don't let anybody tell you what to do. Don't let those people at church tell you what to do and all these things you can't do. We're going to do this. And we're going to have a ball. And we're going to have a great time. And so it spread to the earth. Through doubt, he said to Eve, did God really say that? Did God really mean that? And doubt. And who's behind the doubt in your life and my life? Satan is the one who puts doubt in your mind. Did God really say that? And not only he spreads sin through doubt, all the Bible's not the Word of God, all of that sort of stuff. That's an old book. That's okay a long time ago, but this is 2016. And then it goes on to denial. He said to her first, did God really say that? And then he said to Eve, you shall not surely die. God said the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. And God doesn't know what he's talking about. And what it says to you, young people, is God doesn't want me to have a good time. He doesn't want me to have a good life. He doesn't want me to enjoy myself. He's put all of these things and given me all of these things in His Word. He has given those things to us to say, Bill, don't hurt yourself. He says to me, don't hurt yourself. Don't destroy yourself. Don't ruin your life. And He says that to you. His prohibitions are not denials, but He wants to protect us. And so there's doubt and denial. But thirdly, there's deception. And she saw the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. She saw it was good to eat. It looked good. It tasted great. And she not only partook of it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. She gave it to her husband, and he did eat. And their eyes were open. And they suddenly realized that something is terribly wrong. Something was terribly wrong. And something had changed dramatically in their life. Dr. R.G. Lee said, sin will take you further than you will want to go. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you'll want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you will want to pay. Let me say it again. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will take you, keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you will want to pay. Sin is a losing game. It is a losing game. I've talked to you a lot about people who get in, especially men, who get in a middle age crisis. You know what I'm talking about? One day they realize it's really one of the Satan's oldest deceptions. He realized, well, I need to be happy. And I want to be happy. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to have everything that I want. And I'm not happy. And the reason is that I'm married to this old woman. And what I need is me a younger woman. And he gets him a sports car. And he gets him a little cap to put on his head. And he finds him, trades in his old wife for a younger wife. And it's an old story. I heard the most tragic story last week that I believe I've ever heard about a guy that I know. I do not know him as a close friend. But I want to tell you his story for just a moment. It's a guy that I know. It's a guy who had everything. He was not a preacher. He was not a preacher, but he was a someone who was well known in his field. And he was in a Christian field. And he was a guy, if you looked at him and I looked at him, you would think he has everything, he has it made, and he has the most wonderful life in the world. I'm young, and my wife is too old. Well, in 2:14, I found this, that he wrote this. It's on the internet. He said, I always dreamed of retiring at 55. Listen to me now, okay? I always dreamed of retiring at 55, and guess what? I turned 55 in September. And I plan to travel, maybe to build a home out west. Now, let me translate that. He just had left his wife. He found him a younger woman, a woman in her 20s. And he had left his wife. For this young thing, he left his business, which was successful. He was probably the most successful man in his particular field. I won't mention his name, and I won't mention what he did, because it's a sad story. And I do not want to add horror to this horrific story. But he left his business, he left his wife, he left his children, he left his family. He's 55 years old. And today, he's dead. The most horrible. I could not write a story of a life any more horrifying. A Shakespearean tragedy. I could think of the most tragic Shakespearean tragedy. This man's life and death is the most tragic story that I can think of. And on June 21st, he left this world and he left it all. And we see the source of sin is Satan. And the spread of sin is to this world. And sin is on the trail of every one of us. Every one of us have been infected with the virus of sin. There is not a person in this building this morning who has not been infected with the virus of sin. Every one of us. I could go around and call the name of every person here and say to you, you are infected by this terrible virus of sin. And this virus of sin will bring death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't care how
young you are, you're infected with the virus of sin. I don't care how moral you are, you still have the virus of sin. And you still have the sentence of death. For lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And I would say, not only are all of us infected by the virus of sin, but every one of us are under the sentence of physical death. The only way that anybody here is going to escape dying is being saved and being in the rapture. Amen?
Amen.
If you're not raptured, if Christ doesn't come, friend, death is already working in your body. You say, "Oh, Brother Bill, I'm young. The virus of sin is in you." And the sentence of death, physical death, if Christ dares his coming, is upon all of us, for we have all sinned. Thank God for the gift of God, which is eternal life. And thank God for salvation from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, and ultimately one day from the very presence of sin. But listen, this guy that I told you about was a professing Christian. A professing Christian. And Shakespeare could have taken his life and written his most horrific tragedy. So if it could happen to this man, it could happen to anyone. The source of sin, the spread of sin, the sorrow of sin very quickly. There's the defilement of sin. Sin defiles. God said their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. The sorrow defilement. Sin will defile us. It'll defile the most moral person in this building. It'll defile you. It'll destroy you. It'll bring you to a place where people will shake their head and say, "How could she do that?" And I look at this man and I say, "How could he do that? How could he have done such a thing?" It's called sin. And so we see defilement. We see destruction. Romans 3:16, destruction or misery. And misery in their way. I'm talking about personal destruction. I'm talking about drugs. I'm talking about alcohol. I'm talking about sexual addiction. I'm talking about sexual transmitted disease, pornography, sexual perversion. I'm talking about broken lives and broken homes and broken hearts. I'm talking about property destruction, carjackings and home invasions. I'm talking about people destruction. Their feet are swift to shed blood. ISIS and Islamic terrorism rearing its head everywhere. The sorrow of disgrace, defilement, destruction, disgrace. Nathan said to David, King David, the man who wrote most and many of the Psalms, "Thou art the man. The sword shall never depart from your house, David." The sword will never depart from your house. Yes, God will forgive. Yes, God will give. Yes, God's mercy and grace is plenteous. But God will not remove the scars of sin. I have scars on my body. All over my body. Cutting. I've been sliced and diced. Some of you have. You know what I'm talking about. But the sword will never depart. And it never departed from the house of David. David said to Nathan, "This man shall pay fourfold God said, you got it. You're going to pay for a foe. The baby died. His daughter was raped by her brother. Absalom drove his father off the throne. He paid. The sword never depart. Yes, God will forgive you. Yes, yes, yes. But there are scars. There are consequences to sin. Sin always has consequences. It's not a laughing matter. It's not a funny thing. It is not a joke, my friends. It is a cruel hoax. And so we see that not only the source of sin and the spread of sin, but the sorrow of sin very quickly. Fourthly, see the significance of sin. What is sin? Sin's missing the mark. It's missing the bullseye. We've all sinned and missed the mark. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is missing the mark. All of us have done that. Sin is stepping out of bounds. All of us have stepped out of bounds. Every one of us have. It's missing the mark. It's stepping out of bounds. It's disobeying the Word of God. And my friends, when we disobey the Word of God, this book simply says, Bill, don't hurt yourself. Be careful. And sin is worse than having a power saw in your hands. I mean, power saw is dangerous. Now, I have one. I love to use that thing. Steel. I'm a steel man. Man, boom. I need to bring it and pull it and let it sound off. But that's a dangerous thing. And sin will slice you and dice you and destroy your life. It's disobedience to the Word of God. It's failing to hear. Some of you have come to church today and you haven't heard a word. Not a single word. And God's going to hold you responsible for what you hear, but what you don't hear. And He says, you should have heard, you could have heard, and you weren't listening. That blue light, the sound, whoa, you know. See, the blue light said, oh, no. And you say to the policeman or the state patrolman, I didn't know that. That'll get you off on it. I didn't know that. Well, he said, well, you ought to have known it. And he's not going to let you off because you said, I didn't know that. Sin is failing to hear. And one of the worst things you can do is not listen. It's a sin to not listen. It's a sin. It's a sin. Sin is failing to hear. It's lawlessness. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. How do you know you think that? Because I've thought the same thing. Yeah. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do as I please. One day I'm leaving this place. I'm going to be out of here. I'm going to run my life and do as I please. You're crazy as a loon. You really are. Nobody does what they please. Did you know that? Nobody does what they please. Lawlessness. Transgressing law, breaking the law. You don't break God's law. God's law breaks you. Sin's omission. He that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. There are sins of omission. There are sins of commission. Sin is ignorance, not knowing, but I could know and I should know the significance of sin. Sin's coming short of beauty. So we see the source of sin, the spread of sin, the sorrow of sin, the significance of sin. But fifthly, very quickly, the sentence of sin. Sin always has consequences. It always has consequences. Yes, God will forgive. But there are always consequences to sin. The sentence of sin. R.G. Lee wrote a great sermon and preached it 1,275 times. Payday, someday. Payday, someday. Sin always has a payday. A payday. You've had people say to you, you're going to pay for that. Huh? You ever been told that? I have, it's true. Sin always has a payday. And here's what he said. Even though the mills of God grind slowly, they do. God's mill grinds slowly. but it grinds to powder. Yes, the judgment of God often travels slowly, but the judgments have iron hands and crush completely. The only way for a man or woman on earth to escape the sinner's payday on earth and the sinner's payday in hell is through Christ Jesus, who took the sinner's place on the cross. And so the sentence of sin is death. The wages of sin is still death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin, we say it with me, the wages of sin is death. It's death. It's still death. It hasn't been changed. They say, well, there's no absolute. There's no absolute. No absolute. Oh, yes, they are. And the payday of sin is death, but I'm glad it doesn't stop there, aren't you? The gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so there's a sentence of death. Sentence of death. The sentence of exposure. Be sure, God said, in Numbers 23:32, your sin will find you out. This man that I told you about who died a few days ago, a tragic death, his sin found him out, exposure. And all the people who knew the man and knew his life and knew what he said and knew what he told hundreds and thousands of times had given his testimony. This man was exposed. The sentence of reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The sentence of death. And so when we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We lose the joy of our salvation. We damage our fellowship with the Lord. And we damage our influence with others. And like this man, they say, how in the world could this man do what he did? How could he do what he did to his wife? How could he do what he did to his children? How could he do what he did with his friends who trusted him and the people who were associated with him for all of those years? How could he do such a thing? Finally, very quickly, not only the source of sin and spread of sin and sorrow of sin and significant sin and the sentence of sin, but thank God there's a solution for sin. What's the solution, Brother Bill? When we sin, when a child of God sins, we do not cease to be a child of God. Let me say that again. When a believer sins, they do not cease to be a child of God. When a believer sins, they do not lose their salvation. And I give unto them, what kind of life? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. So what is the solution to sin? Well, I thank God that there are some preventative measures we can take about sin. Psalms 119 and verse 11, I believe, says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Can you help me finish it? That I shall not sin against God. If we will hide this word in our heart, hiding God's word in our heart is a prevention against sin. And the best thing to do about sin is to prevent it. To never do it in the first time. To never do the wrong thing. To never say the wrong thing. To never be the wrong thing. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against God. Thank God for the word of God that prevents sin. I thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer to keep us from sin, who has sealed us by His grace and by His power, who has placed us into Christ and Christ is in us, and who desires to control us moment by moment by His grace and by His power. I thank God for the preventive steps that God has made to keep us from sin. These things that are written unto you, God said that you should not sin. But when we sin, God's Word says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God, when we confess our sins and we say, I have sinned. David said, I have sinned. And we confess our sins. David said, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against God. We confess our sins. We claim His cleansing power. We forsake our sins and say goodbye to those things by His grace and by His power. We repent of our sins. We do an about face. We turn away from our sins. We turn to Christ in repentance. And we allow Him to restore us by His grace and by His power. So we never need to say, if I have sinned. Just get that out of your vocabulary. All of us have sinned. Get rid of that if stuff. Hey, I'm really great stuff. I'm really big time. I'm a big time Christian. And I don't sin. Well, you lie then, okay? And lying is a sin, okay? We've all sinned and we're infected. So none of us are above doing some crazy, destructive things, regardless of how long you've been a Christian. So we ask God to restore us by His grace and by His power. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And so, that's the solution. There is a solution for sin. Prevention is the most important. An ounce of prevention is worth what? A pound of cure. Oh, listen. The best thing to do is to prevent these things. You say, Brother Bill, I'm not saved. I'm lost. I'm not sure that I'm saved. God says there's none righteous. No, not one. And if you're lost, we must admit God. Be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what that old Pharisee said. Admit that you're a sinner. And repent of your sins. Turn from your sins to Christ. Confess Christ as your Savior. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Confess Him as your Savior, that He died for you, that He rose from the grave, and ask Him to save you. And then Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord, maybe we'll be saved. Is that what it says? If you hold your mouth right, you'll be saved. No, it doesn't say that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. There's no fine print. I mean, it's all a promise of God. If you call upon His name, you'll be saved. Thank God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see the source of sin, the spread of sin, the sorrow of sin, the significance of sin, the sentence of sin, the solution of sin. None of us are above sin. None of us are exempt from it. And none of us are exempt from doing something stupid and something crazy and doing something that will destroy our heart, our lives, our reputation, that will bring sorrow to our families and to our friends, and they will shake their head and say, how in the world did they do that? But I want to tell you, I have watched the lives of people who sat in this very auditorium. I've been shocked about the things that I've seen people have done who have sat in this very auditorium. And I've said, how could they do that? How could they do that? Because sin is destructive. And if we're not careful, we'll let it catch us in our life and destroy our effectiveness and destroy our lives by His grace and power. Shall we bow our heads? Musicians, will you come forward? I do not know what it is that God has spoken to you about today. Maybe there's someone here today who said, Brother Bill, I've never received Christ as my Savior, or I'm not sure that I'm saved. Ah, listen, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Lord Jesus wants to give you the gift of salvation today if you would let Him. In just a moment, we're going to have the invitation, and you can come forward and receive Christ, and we'll open the Bible and show you how to be saved. Or maybe you say, well, I've been saved, Brother Bill, but I haven't been baptized. I invite you to come. If you've really been saved, the first step of obedience is to follow Christ and believe His baptism. Or maybe you say, I've been saved and I follow Christ and believe His baptism, but my membership is elsewhere. And I believe God is leading me here to Crooked Creek. We invite you to come in just a moment as we have the invitation. But you know, that guy, if anybody had told me, I've even had my picture taken with that guy that I told you the story about. And if you told me what happened to him, I'd never believed it. I would never believe it. I would say, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. And you don't know who you're talking about. You mean he's going to do that? Huh. And you know what? Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Sin desires, even after we're saved, if he can't get your soul, he wants to get your reputation. He wants to ruin your reputation. He wants to wreck your home. He wants to wreck your career. He wants to wreck you in every part of your life. He can't get your soul if you're saved, but he sure can ruin. He can play havoc with everything in your life. Don't mess with sin. Don't mess with sin. Shall we stand, please? Will you come?